commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is about who we worship. It's about exclusively worshipping only Jehovah. Commandment two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, demands we worship the true God correctly. So you can't worship God whatever way you want to. Because if you do, that will inevitably lead to a worship which is sinful, sensual, and selfish. You see that in Israel. And when they make their own false gods, that's always what goes with pagan religion. Selfishness, sensuality, and all kinds of sins. Command three is about honoring God. It demands that we honor him by taking his name reverently. And by name, it means in every way where God reveals himself. His word, his ordinances, his actual name. Let's treat him with respect and reverence. That's not unreasonable, is it? After all, he made us, made the world in which we live, and he sent his son to die for us. There's nothing unreasonable so far. He demands that we exclusively worship him. He demands that we worship him correctly. He demands that we honor him by treating his name with respect. He demands that we spend one day every week, a whole day, glorifying God and being blessed by him. And that commandment, that fourth commandment, there's blessing in it for you and me indeed. To enjoy the Sabbath day and to be fed and to be ministered to. That the word of God, and we prayed it this morning, that the house of God would be like an oasis to you. You've been traveling for 6 days in this weary world, and then you come to little oasis, which is your Sabbath day, to come and to be refreshed and nourished in truth, that you might have strength to go on in your journey. It's good for you. And then tonight, we come to the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And let me tell you, this has everything to do with Jehovah. And tonight, this commandment is teaching us about authority. Authority. I want you to keep that in mind now. We tend to look at the commandments. And we come to commandment number five. As I said to you this morning, we treat number five as if it's only for kids. This one's only for boys and girls. Adults only have nine commandments. Because number five is just for kids who are 18 and under. Then you have the Roman Catholic Church. They get rid of commandment number two about the idols and graven images. So that's number two gone as well. And then some people don't accept the commandment we did last week because they see it as no longer relevant. So that's number four gone as well. So if two is gone and five's gone and four's gone, that only leaves seven commandments for us. Let's call them the seven commandments instead, and life will be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Let me tell you, all 10 apply. None are removed. None are for one age group. All 10 apply all the time in all circumstances. And I say that on the authority of God's word, because when Christ walked on earth, he never removed any one of these commandments. In fact, he emphasized them all, every single one of them, to the New Testament church. So tonight, I want to, first of all, take this commandment as generally as possible to show you just the breadth of this, because it's huge. There's not one person in here this doesn't affect this evening. Let's read the commandment very carefully and ask yourself what everything means. Honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. You understand what honor is. It's the giving of respect. It's going to involve obedience and caring and honoring, the fact of verbally honoring as well as physically honoring and so on and so forth. But let me take you to the word father. Honor thy father. Who does the Bible say your father is? I'm not particularly interested in what you say. I want to know what the Bible says. The Bible tells us the following are our fathers. Isaiah 49. It says there, kings shall be thy nursing fathers. So when the Word of God talks about fathers, it means your rulers. Leviticus 19, 32, it says, honor the face of the old man. So the aged are your father. 1 Corinthians 4, 15. Though you have 10,000 instructors, yet have ye not many fathers, for I have begotten you through the gospel. The evangelist who's led you to Christ. 2 Kings 5 and 13. His servants came near him and said to him, Father, masters are your father. Hebrews 12, 9. Fathers of our flesh, there's your biological dad. Let me list those to you again then. When the Word of God takes the title Father, it's given to rulers, to the aged, to the evangelist through whom you came to Christ, to your master, your boss, your employer, to those who are up the ranks above you in your place of employment, your biological dad, your father. There's just five examples to show you who your father actually is. It's the same with your mother. And the mother and the father are these authoritative figures above you. That's the key to this commandment. It is obeying the authorities above you. That's very important. You see, Jehovah, men and women, has made a world. He has created all things, and this is not a world of chaos. He has put order into everything. You go into the galaxies round about us, and there's order up there. There's order. You come into this world, and God made it, and He made order in this creation. And within that framework of order, He has made a thing called authority. And God has granted authority to different groups and different people. And can I say, when it comes to this idea of authority, sometimes there are men who are in places of authority and they're ungodly. That does not mean the rule of authority becomes bad. God says, obey or honor your father and your mother. And let's say that father, that mother whom you are under, they're ungodly wretch. That does not mean the order that God has set in place is now null and void. It's very important. Men and women, obey your father. If I can put it this way, obey or honor your father and mother figure. The father figure, the mother figure, their authority is to be respected, to obey this commandment. Now, just to emphasize this, that I'm not really stretching out to try and get a sermon out of this. That's not the case at all. I'm going to take you to our catechism, the shorter catechism based on the Westminster Confession of Faith, which we subscribe to and you subscribe to if you're a member of this church. And here's what it says. What is required in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requireth the preserving the honor and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. All right, it's just making the same point that I've made there now. It's talking about working within the framework of authority. Now, if I was to take each group there, we could be here for a long, 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 long time in working out how you obey, how servants obey their masters and how you work in the realms of government and when is it okay to stand against rulers who are ungodly and you have a revolt and when are those things okay and what does the Word of God say about all these things? We're not going to get into that. All I'm going to do tonight is focus on one group of this father, mother, representative, and obviously I want to look at the family because it's the core one. It's the core picture of authority. And here's the reason why. You have a father and a mother, a biological father, biological mother, and they have their children. And here's why it's so important, and here's why it's, I believe, the fifth commandment. All right, because you'll notice the first four directly deal with your relationship with God, Only trusting in Him, how you worship Him, honour His name, keep His day, and that jumps to mum and dad, not the case. Let me tell you, that fifth commandment is every bit as much about your relationship with God as the other four do. Let me tell you why. You see, if you have children or you were a child in a home, let's take the parents right now. If you're a parent in the home and the children are there, that's when the children are supposed to learn to respect authority. That must be instilled in every boy, girl, from birth right up to adulthood. That is required in this book, that each and every one of us willingly submit and learn to submit to the order that God has created everything in. The home is not supposed to be chaos. This world is not supposed to be chaos. The church is not supposed to be chaos. There is authority and there must be. Be ordered. Now, let me tell you, as a parent, that can be difficult sometimes. But nevertheless, that is required and we must pray. We must strive. We must seek God's help in achieving this. Because here's the concern. If children don't respect their parents, because think about it, there's no more obvious authority to a child than its parents. A child won't understand the police very much and won't understand the law courts very much. It certainly might not understand much about God, but it understands its parents. It understands its parents are there to bring penalties and sanctions when the child steps out of line. And that's when they learn the rule that authority must be respected. Because if they don't learn at home, and I've said this so many times, if a child doesn't learn to respect authority at home, I don't ever expect it to learn authority to its teachers at school. I don't expect that child to grow up and respect the authority in their own home. If they get married and they're with a spouse, if it's a young man marries a woman, he's never learned authority and how it works, he'll be hard on the wife. If it's the other way around, a girl growing up and she never learns to submit to authority, I can guarantee you her marriage will be an absolute mess. I can guarantee they grow up and if they don't expect the authority in the home, they will not respect the authority of the land. They'll think nothing of the police. And if they don't respect the authority of parents, of their teachers, of their spouses, of the police, I don't think they'll ever respect the authority of God. This is why it's so important. And so the Lord lays it down. Men, women, fathers, mothers, teach your children to obey authority, that ultimately they will bow to the authority of God. So I hope you see how important this really is. In fact, it's critical for the well-being, not only of your children, but for society. And I look around, and we do children's meetings here, and I've come across plenty of children, and I have every reason to be greatly worried. Because kids don't get this. They don't get authority. And they don't know what it is for their parents to come along and give sanctions and penalties when they step out of line. I think there's hardly any hope for them. It's a grim picture. It's what I see. Now, let me start off here tonight and we'll see how far we get. But what I want to do is, first of all, I'm just going to use the word fathers, okay? So the commandments about fathers and mothers, but just for ease of speaking here, I'm just referring to the father as the parental responsibility, but it lands upon father and mother. And what I want to start with here right now is this. How should parents, how should the father figure, the mother figure behave? Because that's important. We look at this commandment and straight away we think about the kids. And I can guarantee you there is no verse of scripture quoted more in homes than that verse 12 of chapter 20. I guarantee there's no verse quoted more in families and in homes on planet Earth. Children obey, or children honor your father and your mother. Let me just turn that right around. Because for you to be someone deserving of honor, there must be a way you behave. We'll not go to it right now, but in the New Testament, we're told there about the husband and the wife. And it says that the husbands love your wives. And wives submit to your husbands.
And you see, if the husband loves the wife will find it easy to submit to him. And if the wife submits to the husband will find her easy to love. And I would love to give the meat of that, what it means for the husband to love the wife. It doesn't mean that silly notion about a gushy love and all be huggy and all the rest of it. It's got nothing to do with that. The word love means far, far more than that. But I won't stop there. I'm going to leave that. But just to say it right now, there's that responsibility for you, because let me give you an example, right? I remember speaking to a man one time, and it's so telling, not so much what people say, but how they say it. And he said to me one time, speaking about his own relationship, and I can say this here, he said, "You see, my wife, she never submits to me." And that's how he said it, with real venom. And I knew when he said that, I thought, sir, you do not deserve to be submitted to. It's no wonder she doesn't submit to you. And sometimes it's the other way around. Wives will say, it's usually more feminine and tearful, "My husband doesn't love me." And I know rightly that she's so demanding and hard to work with, it's no wonder he struggles to love her. But both work here. If you love your husband and you submit, sorry, if you love your wife, and if you submit to your husband, everything that those two things mean, the marriage will go well. It's the exact same thing with command 5. Honor thy father and thy mother. But father, mother, whether you're, whatever role, you're a father figure, you're a ruler, you're an employer, whether you're a parent, let me tell you, it is commanded that you're, who's below you should obey you. But let me say, if you feel in your work as a father or mother, you should not expect to be honored. When I say that. Husbands, if you don't love your wife, I don't think you should expect your wife to submit to you. Now, she is required to do it, but you're making it jolly hard for her. And parents, it can be the same. Government, it can be the same. Bosses, employers, it can be the same. Yes, the word of God tells servants, children, citizens, obey your father figures. But boy, rulers can make it hard sometimes. So how should the parental figure behave? Well, let me give you a quick list here. Number one. And again, I'm just thinking on a domestic home here, and you can apply these to all aspects of work, but let me take the father. The father should encourage them to honor God. That's where it starts. Whether you're in government, whether you're an employer, whether you're a parent, you should encourage those under you to obey God, to honor him. Promoting the Ten Commandments all the time, that must be your absolute priority. Let me say, and again, thinking of parents, but it applies to every father figure, every mother figure. If you expect your children to treat you like a god, you deserve hell. If you want your children to simply follow after you and do your bidding and just suit into your program, you want them to be your little angels that do your bidding, let me tell you, you deserve hell for the way you're conducting your inferiors. You see, whether you're a politician, employer, or parent, the point is you are under God. And you are responsible for exalting the glory of God and pointing all people to him. Doing that wisely, not with aggression and anger, doing it compassionately and lovingly. Now, it can be difficult in some situations to do that. It's easier in the home. It's harder in positions of employment. But nevertheless, this is our first duty to all men, to glorify God and point people to him. Thinking about the children. Again, this is absolutely essential because it is the parents' responsibility. Absolutely. To see their children pointed to God by them. Remember that verse in the scriptures? It's in 3 John, and it says there, "I have no greater desire than that my children walk in truth." You see, the children, The more children fear and love God, the more they will enjoy life and honor you. That's a fact. The more godly our children are, thinking on that Psalm 127, the more godly they are, the more they adhere to this book, the more they love God, the more they will enjoy their life and enjoy the relationship with you. It's just a reality. Any saved person can testify to that. So, teach them to honor God. Secondly, be kind, but don't spoil. Be kind, but don't spoil. That's a big one today, because I go to homes and I see parents there and they will boast on how they spoil their children. And very often they're very well-meaning. They want to give their children everything they want, and they will say that with great pride in their heart. You know, my children want for nothing. And I cringe when they say that, because I know that means most likely they're spoiling them, and spoiling them is never a good thing. Be kind, but not indulging those under you, because indulging those under you will ruin them. Whether it's, again, government or a king or whatever the case may be. Let me take you a verse of scripture here, all right? This is about spoiling. Let's go to 1 Kings, okay? Here's King David. A wise and a goodly king. But there's no doubt he messed up with his family. Let's read this. 1 Kings chapter 1. And you have here the fact that David's getting older now, and there's some of his sons who begin to assume responsibility for the kingdom, and they begin to make a name for themselves, and they gather a bit of momentum behind them, and they're going to position themselves well to be their father's successor, and they have no right to the throne. Verse 6. And his father. Well, let's just go back to verse 5, actually. Then Adonijah, so that's David's son. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. So he's using his father's stuff, okay, his horses, chariots. And he's getting momentum here. And here's where the problem comes. How did David, the father, who is supposed to be the authority over his son, what did he do? Verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time. Did you get the significance of that? David would not, in verse 6, David would not displease his son. As if that is the greatest responsibility of a parent. Do not displease your children. I remember a man in my home, and there was disobedience in the house with their children. And the man said to his wife, and I hope he was joking, but I don't think he was. He said, you know, the mother said, well, you take that way in there and sort them out, discipline them. And the man turned around and says, oh no, I'm not going to do it. I don't want them to hate me. And the child just continued. I was flabbergasted. I'm still flabbergasted. They were so scared of displeasing their child. All the while, their children continued to be disobedient, completely missed the point of authority, and need salvation, and will end up in God's hell unless God steps in, overruling that parent's inability to rule their home. And by the way, I'm a parent, and if any of you know me, I am not perfect at this. My children are here. My wife's here. But let's see what the Word of God says. Let's pray over this, and let's seek with all our hearts and souls to administer it in the fair and godly way. David was scared of displeasing his son. And lets his child indulge in whatever he fancies. That's a problem. Men and women, there must, I need to emphasize this tonight, because this is biblical. God requires parents to uphold the law in their home. That is required. And if the law is not upheld, there must be penalties. There must be sanctions. Because that's the way God works with me. That's the way God has ordered his creation. There must be law. There must be submission to authority. And if that is broken, sanctions and penalties must be applied. And can I say, I could give you a list of verses to back that up, like in Proverbs, but you'll be familiar with them. But let me say this, when you're applying penalties and sanctions, let me tell you, if you're going to do it with rage, you're better not doing it at all. And I stand here, and none of us are perfect. Sometimes we're upset and kids do something wrong and we blew off. It's a shame on us. You'll answer for how you behave. When you're dealing with discipline, sanctions and penalties, you do it lovingly. Sometimes it's good to go away and take a break and come back to it. I know that's easier said than done. This is how God's word demands that we raise our children. Let me move on. Teaching them to honor God. Be kind, but don't spoil. Let me think about provision. 2 Corinthians 12:14, it says that children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And what that verse means, it's parents' responsibility to provide for their children. I often joke with my son, although I must say it's a joke with the jag. I often say to him, when I do something for him, I always say, now son, I'll expect you to remember me when I'm an old man and I need to go into a home. I'm going to expect you to give me a good home because I treated you well. And I say that jokingly, but the reality is, men and women, the parent ought to lay up for the children, not the other way around. Now, sometimes that's impossible because of circumstances. You think in war-torn countries and parents are scraping through and maybe the children go out and do well and circumstances have to be taken into consideration here. But the rule of thumb is this, that parents do all they can to lay up for their children, not the other way around. So we shouldn't raise our children like a little business, expecting our children to give us dividends and we will benefit from them in the long run. That is not the way this works. We're there to benefit the children. That's the reality. Now, of course, that cannot be abused. If that's abused by the child, that's a breaking of God's law. They are failing to honor the father and the mother, obviously. But let me just say this quickly. In regards to the provision, we ought to provide for children physically. That's the most obvious one, isn't it? Clothing, food, home, safety. Let me tell you, a parent who feels and knows things to give, you know, I'm not talking about giving them the, when I talk about clothing, it has to be the most fashionable clothing. When I talk about a home, it doesn't have to be a state-of-the-art home. When I talk about food, you don't have to shop Marks and Spencer's every single week to provide for your children. I mean, give them their essentials. Providing physically, but also emotionally. Loving them. Let your commands and your rebukes always be with love. There's that emotional provision where you're seeking to nurture them in a loving home. Physically, emotionally, educationally. It's parents' role, men and women. You read this book, you read this Bible from cover to cover, and you know what you will learn? It is the parents' responsibility to make sure their children are educated. It is not the responsibility of government. It is not government's responsibility. So if a schooling system fails to teach your children, well, you know what? You're still responsible to deal with that. That's how this works. Now, there's lots of views in homeschooling and Christian education, secular education. I'm not even getting into that tonight. I have my views on that, and nevertheless, I might surprise some of you, but nevertheless, it's the parents' responsibility to make sure their children are educated. And let me tell you, there's room there for delegation. That's what I'm looking for. I know there's an argument out there that because the Bible says it's parents' responsibility, that parents should teach their children. If you can do that, teach them at home, the Lord bless you. But I see clear evidence in this book for delegation, bringing in help or sending them for help. No issue with that at all. But it is ultimately the parents' responsibility, physically, emotionally, educationally and spiritually. It is the parents' responsibility to see their child are nurtured in truth. Let me tell you, think of that passage there about Timothy. It's a lovely scene, and it says there that from even his earliest days, he knew the truth. You see, he was fed the sincere milk of the word. His mother would have taken her little boy, Timothy, and she would have given her the milk of the breast. She would have brought that little boy up and gave him the milk from her own physical form. But not only did she give milk in the sense of milk to nourish her his body, she gave him the milk, the sincere milk of the word, to build his soul. Because both are absolutely necessary. And by the way, I speak there about the mother, and it was Timothy's mother who did that. It is not exclusively the mother's job. It's not exclusively the mother's job to provide physically, emotionally, educationally, spiritually. It is the parents' responsibility. Fourthly, don't provoke your children to wrath. Whether again, you're in employment, government, parenting, don't provoke your children to wrath. How do you do that? Just to run through a quick list here. I'm taking this basically right out of Thomas Watson's book here because he got it well. Don't provoke to wrath. How do you provoke someone to wrath? How do you provoke your children or your employees or whatever to wrath? Well, harsh or unjust penalties. If they do something wrong and you treat them harshly or unjustly, of course that'll make them angry. And God's word makes it clear, and it uses the word fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your sons to wrath. That's a command from God. Don't provoke them by harsh or unjust penalties, by over-restraints on liberties, by denial of needs. And needs could be anything. It could be clothing. It could be an emotional need, a physical need, a spiritual need. It could be security. Don't deny their needs of security. And just while I'm on that, I don't know if there's anything more disgusting than a parent who fails to protect the safety of their own children, their own home. And you watch the news today across this world, and not even across this world, even in our own little land, and what goes on behind closed doors with parents and children is absolutely devilish. Don't deny your children their needs of security and safety. Because they should look to their parents with love and respect and knowing that's what we'll get from their parents. Not to be abused, not to be broken, not to be hurt and harmed. Furthermore, don't provoke your children by your foolishness. By you bringing disgrace upon yourself by your behavior, making a fool of yourself. Turning your children off you. Or furthermore, demanding what is impossible for them to fulfill. Isn't that true in the workplace? And it's true in the home? And it'll be true in every realm of life. Don't demand that which is impossible and then apply correction because it is impossible for them to do it. Don't make them do things as against their own conscience. Remember the example that's given in the word of God of King Saul. And he said to his son, Jonathan, go and get David, for this day he must die. And Jonathan knew that he could not get David because David was innocent. Now there was a father, Saul, demanding something of a son that Jonathan could not justly do. And what happened on that occasion? Saul blew off and he took his spear and he went to try and kill his own son. As a father, he desperately failed. So, here's a few things. A couple more just list to you. Teach them to honor God. Be kind, but don't spoil. Provide. Don't provoke to wrath. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for your relationship with them. Pray for their intellect that they will develop. Pray for their character. Pray for their relationship with other people. And even say to them, is there anything you want me to pray for you? Bring them into your ministry of prayer. And I trust they will reciprocate and pray for you also. Pray for them. Encourage them. Sixthly, by way of what to do as a father figure here, a mother figure, encourage them. We all need this from time to time, don't we? We look for the superior to encourage us inferiors, and that's the way it should be. Looking for encouragement is so often needed. Do that with your children. Do that with those in your places of employment. This is like watering a plant. If you want a plant to grow, you give it plenty of water. Water those who are under your authority by encouraging them when things are done right. Even if they do something wrong and you have to chastise them for that, encourage them for the bits they did right. And then rebuke for the bits they did wrong. That's fair enough. But never miss an opportunity just to encourage. And the last thing I'll list here in regards to the father and mother's behavior is exemplify good behavior. You be an example. Because there's nothing more damning for your testimony and nothing more off-putting to your authority than hypocrisy. There is no point in telling those who are under your authority to do one thing and you do the complete opposite. Nothing more off-putting. Can I say as well, when I talk about exemplifying good behavior, a child should grow up, ideally, this is the way it is in God's word, under this commandment, a child should grow up to hear the word Father. And that very word Father should conjure in their mind what they had in their home. A man in that home who cared for them. A man in that home who made sure authority was implemented, that there was order, and he did all things for the glory of God and the good of his household. A child should grow up thinking about their father, not as someone who is like Santa Claus and just gives them whatever they want, but a father who is kind but doesn't spoil, a father who is good. But sometimes, and it's said of Martin Luther, when Martin Luther came to Christ, he really struggled with that word father because his father was harsh on him. He was a hard man in the home. And when he got saved and came to Christ, it said that that word father was a real struggle for him. And what a sad thing it would be if your children or those under your authority at work would hear of the Heavenly Father and it would conjure up ideas of things that are horrible. Oh no, you exemplify our Heavenly Father. Well, that's how parents should behave. I can just in one line here summarize how children should behave. Maybe we'll go to one verse and then we'll leave it there. Hebrews 12.
And I have to say, this has been a searching message from my own heart this week and helpful in my home, and I'm glad of that. I'm glad of God's word, and we must treat these commandments with respect and treat them humbly. When there's things that are wrong, we endeavour to set them right. Hebrews 12 and the verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We gave them reverence. And that's all they read. Fathers who have corrected us, but we've given them reverence. There's respect there. There is honoring. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? What does it mean to honor your authorities now? So we're turning it around. To honor your authorities can be summarized in four words. You honor them with your words. Speak to them in an honorable and respectable way. You honor them with your obedience. Of course, you can't do things as contrary to your to the word of God. But nevertheless, you honor them with your words, respectful words. You honor them by your obedience. You honor them by your assistance. You can't honor someone if you're constantly plaguing and hindering and you're a grief of mind to them. No, there's assistance there. You're like a teamwork. You are their superior and you're there to help the you're there as the inferior and you're there to help the superior. That's the way it is between us and God. We're doing the work of God and we do it gladly. Do it gladly. Because he's loved us. He's been good to us. He's brought us into this world in every way you could
apply that to God. So you honor them in word, you honor them by obedience, you honor them by assistance, and you honor them with gratitude. Thankfulness. Let's say you have a parent or a governing body or an employer. Show gratitude. They deserve that. They deserve that. If it's an employer, they're giving you work. If it's a parent, brought into the world. If it's a government, they're going to be doing something, and they should be doing something for you. So therefore, men and women, let us reverence the authorities above. But can I say tonight, every one of us is a child. You're a child to your parent, and certainly you ought to show your parents honor, no matter what age you are. This is not for up to 18s only. You honor your parents until the day they depart, and then you honor them still by reverencing their name, even though they're gone. But can I say furthermore, let's not ignore where all this is going. Let's lift our eyes up to our Heavenly Father. Honor your Father, which is in heaven. Is that not even captured in the Lord's Prayer? Men and women, there's a God there. He has laid down his law, and there will be sanctions. There will be penalties when you break the law of your Heavenly Father. I trust tonight our homes, our hearts, and our lives will be that which is in accordance with the Word of God and for His glory. Our land might be changed, or our land might be spared. Please take your hymn books tonight. 749 is our closing hymn. 749.